It is the Doomsday Podcast, emergency edition, coming to you this evening. News has broken of about just a couple of hours ago, and we have assembled the team, Frito Nation Productions, Frito involved, of course, Chris Gross, KG at the helm, and Ed Werder, who has been all over ESPN radio and TV doing some work there. And it was time to do a Doomsday Podcast, because you expect this when huge news breaks. Ed, we had the news. You and I were going to do something on the 9th, which would have been tomorrow, because that was the date they, you know, they had where they could use the tag on Dak. And Ed, was there any? It's always easy to say sort of afterwards, I know, but had you sort of, as you're kind of keeping your ear to the ground, doing all these interviews and everything, had you sensed any momentum? Or does this feel like, you know, the agent, Stephen Jones, got together today and just really, you know, picked up a huge amount of momentum and got a deal done?
Yeah, I think a lot of the work got done between Todd France and Stephen Jones today, the day before. As you said, they would have faced a possible deadline for franchise tagging Dak, which, again, this morning, then there were reports that, well, since they don't know, teams don't know the exact salary cap numbers, they might delay the franchise tag deadline like they did a year ago. But I had been told, I was told today as I made calls about that because I was doing SportsCenter, that the fact that if the deadline got pushed away, the fact that it didn't exist was not going to influence whether a deal got done or not, which made me think that something was imminent, to use the word that Jerry applied to this negotiation over 2 years ago, inappropriately so, as it turned out, in his case, not mine. And I had been told that a decision, something was going to happen where the franchise tag was not going to be an issue in this whole thing. And so it didn't totally surprise me that it happened. I'm glad that it's happened. I think we're all relieved of, not having, wondering when this is going to happen or what the next permutation is going to be. But I think it's interesting that, you know, in Jerry Jones's 32 years of owning the Cowboys, only three quarterbacks have gotten a second contract: Troy Aikman, Tony Romo, and now Dak Prescott. And, you know, Prescott becomes second highest paid quarterback in the league behind Patrick Mahomes, sets the league record for the largest signing bonus. His 3-year payout is $126 million, a record $66 million signing bonus, topping Russell Wilson. And, you know, most people don't like the Patrick Mahomes contract. So you could argue that Dak Prescott used the leverage that came with playing 1 year on the franchise tag, and even the Cowboys didn't get full value out of that. They got five games for $31 million. But he used the leverage that he accumulated with the franchise tag, even though the worst possible thing happened to him. He suffered a season-ending injury in week five. And he still comes out of it with an amazing amount of leverage. And he wins the deal decisively. Really, it seems like across the board. Now, we all know the owners are going to, you know, introduces all this riches from the new TV deals and so forth. But to me, the thing that stands out beyond Dak getting more money than he would have had the Cowboys gotten this done 2 years ago or even last year, the thing that stands out to me is he got the no franchise tag provision and he got a no trade clause. I don't think he would have gotten either one of those things if they had done this deal the previous 2 years. And the fact that he has it now means that he could become a free agent at the end of this contract and the Cowboys can't stop it. It's totally up to him. So in my mind, Matt, he's putting the Cowboys management on notice right now that if you can't build me a team that I can contend for a Super Bowl within the next 4 years, then I might have to think about whether somebody else is better equipped to do that for me. I think that's the possibility that this creates for Dak Prescott beyond the length of this contract.
And that allows us, Ed, to, you know, we're about 2.5 years away from doing all this again and talking about, is it time to extend Dak? I mean, if let's say he puts up great numbers, and that would be a great situation for the Cowboys, especially if they get back to, Ed, I think they're at the point, if they even made an NFC title game, Jerry would be willing to do a lifetime contract with Dak. But you bring up a good point. This thing's going to get compared to Mahomes, and in terms of the annual salary, obviously it's behind Patrick. Now, not in these next couple of years, because they actually got Mahomes on a couple more good years, and then of course everything gets huge after that per season. But you're totally right about this. Mahomes, I mean, it's a great deal for Patrick Mahomes, but I do think there are agents who shoot holes in it and saying, hey, this is one of the great quarterbacks in the NFL, and basically he's locked in. It's more like one of these baseball contracts that end up usually being horrible. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen with Mahomes, but with Dak, this thing will be over before you know it. Now, Ed, it's kind of interesting to me also, something you and I were out there with Steven when pre-pandemic doing that news conference with Zeke. And you remember Steven kind of looked at me when I asked a certain question, you know, like about the holdout. It kind of like, you better make damn sure you're the guy if you want to hold out against us. Well, it's kind of the same thing here. Dak kind of listened to them do all that posturing. Oh, you're a cowboy, and you can make so much money off being a cowboy. Oh, we need money to do all these other things. And he basically hung in there, played on the franchise tag, could have maybe lost leverage with this injury, and then it didn't happen. The injury didn't seem to play any role in this contract. So
it enhanced his value. I mean, I think the only thing he could have done that would have enhanced his value more than suffering a season injury in week five, as it turned out, was go win the Super Bowl and be the Super Bowl MVP. I mean, because all it did was demonstrate to the Cowboys how important a piece he was to their ability to succeed. I mean, he only played five games and he was leading the NFL in passing by a huge measure. When the season was over, he still had two of the three highest single game passing totals in the league. And he's exactly the kind of quarterback that Mike McCarthy wants. He wants to run everything through the quarterback, not the running back that they paid out of turn and overpaid. It makes a ton of sense that they would be put in this position. And I think it all comes down to really Dak's belief in his own ability. I mean, this guy's an unusual guy. Like, most players who were drafted in the fourth round who were expected to be a developmental guy and maybe not even be an active player their rookie year, and instead comes in and, you know, wins 11 games in a row, never gives Tony Romo a chance to get his job back in a meaningful situation, wins the locker room, wins the coaching staff. The owner still seems somewhat skeptical, you know, as Troy Aikman pointed out. But I think in that situation, I think most players, and I think the Cowboys probably believe that Dak would be desperate to get big guaranteed money. He was a fourth round pick. He wasn't making anything, but he didn't. He didn't do that. He didn't jump at the first time the Cowboys offered him any significant guaranteed money. He played it out twice. And even though he suffered the consequences of that last year with the injury, it wound up not hurting him. In fact, like we said, it enhanced his value because it demonstrated to Jerry Jones what a unique player this is, and not anybody, no matter how many weapons you put around him, can do what Dak Prescott's capable of doing. Now, people will say he doesn't beat good teams, he hadn't won anything, and there's truth in all that. But I'm just going to point out that Dak had no reason to give the Cowboys a break in this negotiation. Like some people say, well, you have to, you know, the Cowboys thing was, well, you got to leave us enough money to build a good team around you. Well, when have you ever done that for anybody? Like, you know, you did that around one unique Hall of Fame coach, Jimmy Johnson, and one unique Hall of Fame quarterback, Troy Aikman, in the last 30 years. And otherwise, you've never done that on a consistent basis with any other group of players or any other coach. So why should I believe that if I take less, you're going to do it here for me?
Yeah, that's interesting, and you got to hand it to Dak for what you just said, for never kind of, you know, being the unflappable guy. And if you think about it, Ed, his brother on Twitter was the only one who ever sort of reacted to things. And I think his brother's just his own personality. He kind of he kind of, like family Tad. Members do from time to time. Yeah, Tad kind of gets upset with things. And I don't think, you know, Dak kind of lets that go and probably just gets a kick out of it. I don't think he's really, sometimes we wonder if family members are speaking on behalf of their siblings. And in this case, I think Dak just, he didn't try to mute him or anything like that. Or he just, you know, just kind of, I think he probably got a kick out of the whole thing. And also, Ed, I mean, after playing the long game like they did, and if you put the France deal, the Todd France, who you mentioned earlier, the agent, up against the Mahomes deal, and we both know Lee Steinberg and likely Steinberg, but I would say Todd France has is looking pretty good to not only his clients but other potential clients across the league tonight.
Well, if you're Patrick Mahomes, is the only quarterback in the league with a 10-year contract, and it's very favorable to Kansas City in terms of being able to, you know, build a contending team every year, and they've proven they can do it. So maybe that makes sense in that case, because they've been to the championship game, you know, in or better in all three of Patrick Mahomes' years as starting quarterback, two Super Bowls and an AFC championship game. And so maybe that's justified. But if you're Patrick Mahomes and you're trying to maximize the value of your talent, then you want to be a free agent as quickly as possible. You want your contract to expire as many times as possible. And that's what Dak has now, you know, essentially set himself up for, is, hey, 4 years from now, I'm 31 years old. I'm still in the prime of my career. Tom Brady's playing and he's 43, not to compare the two players, but players are playing longer. So he's going to get a chance to, the Cowboys have to demonstrate to him that they can build a winning team around him, or he's going to get the opportunity, if he wants to go pursue that somewhere else.
And that huge deal that Russell Wilson did, Ed, happened, he's 32 now. That happened when he was, what, 29 or 30. So there's no reason to believe that Dak, if he goes out and does extremely well, won't be back at the bargaining table with similar leverage. And again, if he has that kind of leverage, that means things have gone extremely well. And the Cowboys will be happy to pay him another huge contract. I'm sure you saw, Ed, from our old longtime friend Gary Myers, the interesting number that Jerry, what he spent on the Texas Stadium lease and buying the Cowboys for up, you know, somewhere around $158 million back in 1989. And this contract comes out to about $162 million for one player, for Dak Prescott. So he will spend, if this thing goes to fruition, he would spend more on Dak than he did on the franchise.
Of course, what was the value of the franchise at the time Jerry bought it versus the value of the franchise now?
I think Bum Bright was probably laughing at him when he bought it back then. And yet, probably you're right. At the time he bought it for that, it might have been worth, let's give it $200 million or $250 million. And now it is worth, according to Forbes, and you never know about this stuff, but $5.7 billion. So I think Jerry will be okay. Now, Ed, there was also that comment out there on Twitter about, does this sort of tip Jerry's hand on, and Jerry's always had a lot to do. He's always been on the TV committee with getting the new TV money and squeezing those dollars. And even during a pandemic, TV is still going to spend whatever they have to secure the NFL rights. And Ed, that's that. Some people think this contract is almost a tell from Jerry, yeah, that the enormous TV money's on the way.
Yeah. And so teams are going to get less. The cap's going to decline this year for the first time in 7 years, but after that, it's going to rise steadily and somewhat astronomically. So they'll be better able to absorb Dak's bigger numbers going forward. Cause this year they managed to cut his cap charge by about $15.5 million. So that's going to allow them to do the work that's necessary to build a competitive defense. I mean, they allowed the most points in franchise history, and they've been playing football as the Dallas Cowboys for over 60 years. And so they do need to dedicate a lot of resources there. And now they don't have to think about, with the 10th pick in the draft, if the quarterback falls, do we need to draft this quarterback? Because we don't know if we're going to have Dak Prescott beyond this year. And so I think resolving Dak's future for 4 years serves a great purpose in that regard. And I think it makes a couple of other statements that are important. One of which is they're backing up their rhetoric, you know, with their Benjamins here. They've said that they think Dak's an outstanding quarterback. They think he's a top 10 guy. They think he can lead this franchise to a Super Bowl. He's everything they want in a quarterback. And now they've proven that they believe that with the financial investment that they made in him. And I think the other thing it says is that, hey, he's been out at the Star rehabbing from this fractured leg and dislocated ankle. Our guys are working with him. We've interacted with him. We've observed him. And we're still willing to put this much guaranteed money into him. So I think it speaks to their expectation that he's going to be fully healthy, as I've been told, within the next 5 weeks or so, and ready to take over a leadership role in the offseason as Mike McCarthy gets ready for his second season as the Cowboys head coach.
You know, I can't help but think, I was sitting here listening to you, Ed, and I was thinking about that draft. We all remember it. You alluded to him being a fourth round draft pick and yet having the resolve to kind of stare down the Cowboys on this deal. But the number one overall pick and the number two overall pick have already been dealt. And Matthew Stafford, one leaves an enormous hole. What is it, Ed? $39 million dead money hit.
That's what Russell Wilson would be. I think Carson Wentz is $33 million cap hit to the Eagles. And Jared Goff is a $22 million dead money cap hit to the Rams.
Yeah, it's just funny. I mean, think about, and the Cowboys are glad to do this. And yeah, maybe temporarily, Jerry looks like he got beat up in negotiations, but we know he'll be fine on all
that.
He'll laugh it off. He'll have some funny things to say tomorrow as he's on his yacht. My father made an interesting remark to me. Ed, you know, my father was a college football player, and his first thought when I said, whoa, I was giving him the number on it, and dad made the statement, well, that seems, isn't that about the same number that Jerry paid for his yacht? So I think that was about a $250 million yacht. So that kind of puts things in perspective. Jerry's got it. He'll pay it. And to your point, Ed, and you and I have both been reaching out to our people. One noted general manager in the league, I won't narrow it down too much, just simply as Ed reaches for his phone, responded to me that this appeared to be the going rate. And obviously quarterbacks that were taken at the same time, the going rate, they were, you know, they got signed to huge deals and then they were moved within a couple of seasons. Ed, that would be the doomsday scenario, to borrow our own word, our own podcast, and our namesake. But
how appropriate this title has been so many times. It's had so many perfect applications to the team that we talk about on this podcast. You know, you mentioned that you reached out to a general manager, and so did I. And I reached out to this general manager, and he's been involved in the quarterback market, either acquiring a quarterback or trying to trade a quarterback. And I outlined the key points of the Dak deal and asked his opinion. And he said, his reaction was, my Lord. So I don't think he feels like the Cowboys won the negotiation. And, you know, another interesting point when you were talking about how, and it is ironic that in the very year that Carson Wentz and Jared Goff get traded by the teams that drafted them first and second in 2016, when Dak went 135th overall, how ironic is it that those two teams are both going to take a bigger cap hit? Goff is going to count more on the Rams cap, and Wentz is going to count more on the Eagles cap and not be a part of the team than Dak counts against the Cowboys cap at $15.5 million, you know, putting his uniform on out at the Star every week.
That is, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure, Ed, go ahead and tweet that out. I'm sure they would love to be reminded of that as as their huge deals seemingly backfired on them, and they've had to they're climbing out of these things with different quarterbacks. Good point you said earlier. You know, I think there was a little bit of excitement among the Cowboys fandom at the thought of possibly would you want to take a quarterback there. The problem, of course, was, Ed, with these four quarterbacks, this is such a quarterback-starved league, especially at the top, that there was a very little chance of one of those quarterbacks slipping down there to 10. Used to see quarterbacks like Aaron Rodgers, others over the years, we've seen them slip well down in the draft. It just didn't seem like, Ed, the people are always starving for quarterbacks. It just seems like maybe more than ever right now. And I think another thing that has to do with it is the 2022 draft, at least what we're hearing now, doesn't seem to have the same level of quarterback that this group will have. So Cowboys can hang in there at 10. Ed, when we do our future podcast, we can really focus in on Surtain or the kid from Virginia Tech or whoever. Maybe
Farley, Caleb Farley.
Farley, maybe Sewell, maybe the tackle, the offensive tackle out of Oregon. I mean, there's different guys that we can think about. But as you said, a quarterback seems to be, when you commit this kind of money to quarterback, you don't take a quarterback there. I mean, now, could they take a quarterback in the fifth or sixth round? You bet. You know, developmental type guy, that's fine. McCarthy seems to like to do that, but really, with the needs that this team has at linebacker, at cornerback, at safety, at defensive tackle, this is really no time to be getting cute. Some would even argue at tight end to a certain extent. So this is a team that has a lot of needs, and what this does, Ed, is take the biggest. The biggest part of every single team of the NFL, and it takes care of it for 4 years. And you said it put the Cowboys on notice a little bit. In some ways, it puts Dak on notice too, because he's going to get this enormous. I mean, this you never escape this. I mean, like Mahomes is $45 million a year, but Mahomes has already won a Super Bowl and MVP, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it kind of rolls off his shoulders. When you're the Cowboys quarterback and you're basically getting as much money as quarterbacks like Mahomes, or not more, I should say, Russell Wilson, quarterbacks that have won Super Bowls, you know, it puts even more scrutiny on you than before. So this is a burden. Although, Ed, I think it's a burden we would all like to have.
Yeah, and as we've seen, you know, nothing really seems to affect the way Dak exerts his leadership on his teammates, or the dedication he shows in preparing for the season and for games and his performance in those games. I mean, if playing for your financial future twice doesn't say something about this guy, then I don't know what does. I don't expect the money to have any adverse effect on him whatsoever. But there are people, there are skeptics, and there are critics who don't think that Dak Prescott is worth this amount of money, even though this year it's only like 11.6% of the salary cap, if the salary cap's around $180 million. And a lot of teams have won Super Bowls with their quarterback counting that percentage of the cap, or even more, like Tom Brady was about 20%. Of the salary cap for the Tampa Bay Bucks this year. Now, not again that he's Tom Brady, but it's not an unreasonable percentage. He counts against the cap. It won't keep the Cowboys, if they show good judgment and make wise personnel decisions, it won't keep them from building a quality team and improving the one that they had out there last year. And I think offensively, they don't need a whole lot. Mm-hmm. And they just need to be average on defense with the offense that they have when Dak Prescott's playing at the top of his game.
Yeah, is that the right number that I saw? There's so many numbers floating around in my head that even though, as you said, it's not an enormous percentage that it would have been, but as far as money that he's going to actually get, our buddy Galloway used to call it train ride money, or CIF's cash in fist. Will he make $75 million? In this first year, Is that the number that I'm hearing? Does that sound right to you?
I think it's 126 the first 3 years.
Yeah.
And it's like all of the signing bonuses paid in the first year.
Which is the signing bonus is $66 million.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking it's about $75 million. It's pretty amazing. And the only person in Dallas that's going to make this kind of money, Ed, here in a year or two, a couple of years, Luka Doncic will get offered something even more than this, if you could believe it. But this is a pretty enormous contract, especially for an NFL and for a league that doesn't have guaranteed contracts, to get that type of signing bonus and then have that money in the first 3 years, as you said, 126 million of it, 66 million in the form of a signing bonus. And and it's fascinating to me. I don't ever, this is all funny money to me in some ways. I don't ever begrudge anybody. I know sometimes people are just, I noticed the passion one of your colleagues, Dan Orlovsky, would have when he would talk about this. You cannot give this man 40 million. And I don't totally get it, because it's not our money. But I guess he felt convicted that Dak simply wasn't the guy. I don't think it was so much about this. He just wasn't quite that level of a quarterback, and he's not alone in that. I shouldn't just single him out. I would say, Ed, of the Cowboy fandom, you tell me, I'm going to set the over-under on this. I would say that about 65 to 70% of Cowboys fans are happy this evening, are just like, 4 years of more of Dak, this is pretty cool, it's pretty exciting. And then about, maybe 30-35% are maybe a little disgusted and think this is a bad deal.
Oh, yeah, I would say that's probably about right. I think people should just look at it like, hey, they got their quarterback, and for as much criticism as the front office deserves in terms of how they performed and how they failed to compete for their, haven't been to a championship game in, since 1995. All of that's fair and valid criticism, and it's justifiable to question their ability to build winning, contending teams. But the most important part of that equation is having the quarterback, and I happen to believe that this guy is capable of delivering at that level. And, do you want to take a quarterback with the 10th pick? The Cowboys have demonstrated no aptitude for drafting and developing quarterbacks. They went 5 years and 8 starting quarterbacks from the time Troy Aikman retired after the 2000 season until they got Tony Romo, who was an undrafted free agent. And after that, it was Dak. So their starting quarterbacks over the last 15 seasons are an undrafted free agent, 4th-round draft pick. You want to take a shot with a quarterback at the 10th pick? Okay. Well, Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota, Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Blake Bortles, and Mitch Trubisky were all top 3 picks. All were can't-miss prospects. Would you rather have – how many of those guys would you rather have than Dak?
No, I didn't hear anybody. I guess Cleveland still believes in Mayfield, but no, I didn't hear anybody that got me too excited about this. This is a remarkable night. Cowboys commit to Dak Prescott. What was that one, Ed? I'm thinking of all these tweets that I've seen. Did you see Gil Brandt, our old friend, who's had some medical issues lately?
Yeah.
Did he say something about and you covered Troy Aikman and have a great relationship with Troy, but it was something along the lines of how much Troy made in his entire time with the Cowboys. And of course he won 3 Super Bowls with the Cowboys. Did it come in at like $55 million total?
Oh, yeah. Something. His career earnings of Tony Romo were like $128 million or something, $148 million, something like that. I can look it up if you want me to
see if
I can find it fast enough.
I just like trying to remember and throwing wild numbers out. Ed, this was I really like doing this. This was a good dress rehearsal. We'll tape it for real here in a second.
Oh, good. When we tape it, I'll give you the Gil Brandt tweet. which was in 14 years with the Cowboys, Tony Romo earned $125 million. Dak just got $126 million guaranteed. Troy Aikman in 12 seasons made $55 million. I'm sure Troy feels underpaid. He's going to be at the Star pounding on Jerry's door right after he passes his COVID test tomorrow.
Meanwhile, Tony then now makes $17 million a year at CBS. I think Troy's kind of like, you know what? I've been doing this longer than Tony. This is it's quite a night, Ed, and we'll hear tomorrow from Jerry Jones. There'll be a press conference. Ed, I don't think it'll be one we'll be allowed to attend. I'm sure it'll be a Zoom. Although, Ed, we're getting close.
I've had the vaccine. I got the vaccine on Saturday out at the Star, actually. Baylor, Scott, and White out at the Star.
Mm. Were you in line with Jerry?
I never saw Jerry out there. I wish I had.
Several of the Cowboys, good, Ed. I'm glad to hear that. And we're moving toward, things are getting better. I don't know, Ed. We won't get into the governor deciding that we should lift the mask mandate because we don't need to. A lot of people, you might have heard, disagree on all that. So we won't go down that path. But Dak Prescott gets a record-breaking contract for the Dallas Cowboys. He will be the quarterback, we believe, for the next 4 years. And at the end of that, Dak's about to turn next 28 years old. Will soon be 28. And so this will be over when he's 32 years old. And as you said, Ed, I mean, Stafford, they just gave up quite a bit to get Stafford at age, 36, 37. Rodgers just had an MVP season at age 36, going on 37.
Yeah.
What'd you say? 39.
Is he 37?
Yeah. He's not quite. You're aging him too much. He may have just turned 37, Aaron Rodgers. But it is, if Dak plays it right, Ed, let's think how many more of these he could do one at 32, do another one at 36, and then maybe do another one at 40. But the key is,
then he can buy Jerry's yacht and Jerry's helicopter, but not Jerry's football team.
No, Jerry's not going to give that away. And Jerry will be in his early 80s, by the way. Jerry will be like 82, 83 years old when this contract is up. I think I have that right. Okay, Ed, any other – I know you've looked at your phone. You kind of put out the word to your vast net of spies across the league. Anything else you want to add before we say goodnight?
Nothing really in particular. Okay. I can't think of anything of consequence I haven't already said. Not that everything I said is of any extraordinary value, but I've tried. I've tried to do my best here.
No, you've done good work, and I think you saved. You've done sports specials or sports centers, and you've been on ESPN Radio. I think you saved your best for Doomsday. And I always appreciate that. I always get a kick, Ed. I know you noticed this too. You ever think it's funny when like people from NFL Network or other networks they'll like save their biggest breaking news for like when they go on the Dan Patrick Show? I always think that's funny. I'm like, what do you think the NFL Network thinks? Like, why don't you share some of that with the people who pay you?
Exactly.
But good stuff, Ed. We appreciate it. Shout out to our old pal, Frito, who is listening from a karaoke bar in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And he looks good. He's really made a remarkable comeback. And the Doomsday crew is almost back to, I don't know if we're, Ed, I don't know if I'm ever going to be back to 100%, but I'm getting there. And great to have Chris Gross with us, too. Who does such a nice job with our production and Frito Nation production. Production is a really cool group, and we appreciate them so much. All right, Ed.
Let's let Chris do his thing and get this out to the public.
Yeah, let's see. Let me look at the time here. Chris, it appears to be 9:27. Ed will expect us to be out by about 9:48. All right, so see if you could clean this up a little bit and you know, take out anything ridiculous I said. We weren't able to get Stretch on, so we don't have to bleep anything out. So we should be good. All right.
Should be a clean process.
Yeah. Pretty clean process. Trust the process, as we say. All right. Dak Prescott, the richest quarterback in Cowboys history. And now we'll see if he can win something. For Ed Werder, for Chris Groats, for Frito Nation Productions, and Mark Frito Friedman, I'm Matt Mosley. Good night, everybody.